Bible tells us that the day of Christ is not at hand. Now, just to help you understand what the day of Christ is, let's look up verses that use the term day of Christ in the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And while you're turning there, let me just mention to you that the modern Bible versions completely twist this passage, which shouldn't surprise us because if it's that important of a passage, of course they're going to change it, right? And it's so important that we use the King James Bible. There are so many things that these modern versions twist, where they call Joseph Jesus' father, where they remove 16 entire verses in the New Testament alone, where they sit there and complicate salvation and make it difficult and hard when the Bible talks about it being narrow, as in few are saved. They say salvation's difficult, like you'd have to work your way into heaven instead of just trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there are so many things that these modern versions do. Well, one of the things that they do here, where the King James Bible is really clear, saying, do not let anyone tell you that the day of Christ is at hand. That day shall not come until X, Y, and Z happens first. You know what the new versions do? The ESV, the NIV? They'll change it to, don't let anybody tell you that the day of the Lord has already happened. So the King James is saying, hey, don't let anybody tell you that the day of Christ is at hand, meaning that it's about to happen. They change it to, well, just don't let anybody tell you that it's already happened. Okay, in order to make it compatible with a pre-tribulation rapture. Now look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever the day of the Lord Jesus is, it's a day where we want to be found pure on that day. Okay? Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So it's a day of salvation. Okay? Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 14. We're looking at every single mention of the day of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, let's just look at some things that we've learned from these three mentions so far. In the first mention, it said that God would confirm us unto the end that we would be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus. So that's the end of something, isn't it? Confirm us unto the end so that we'll be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 5 talked about the Spirit being saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:14 talks about we are your rejoicing. He's talking about people that he had won to Christ. He said, we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Sounds like a reunion of the person who got you saved with the person who got him saved. And it's a day of salvation. And it's a day that's the end of something. And it's a day when we want to be found blameless before him. Okay? Sounds like we're going to see Jesus on that day. Day of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord Jesus. Look, if you would, at Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, you'll see something similar. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So when we got saved, the Lord began a good work in us, and he's going to perform that good work until the day of the Lord Jesus. So again, it's the end of something, isn't it? I'll tell you what it's the end of, our life on this earth. And he's going to continue working in our lives until the day of the Lord Jesus, because at that point, we're caught up together to be with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see, sanctification is the good work that he has begun in us. He wants to make us holy as he is holy. So he works in our lives. He chastens us and chastises us, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So he works in our lives. But once we are caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We don't need sanctification anymore at that point, because when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will at that point be glorified with him. So the sanctification work is complete. The good work that was begun in us, he will perform until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes perfect sense. Flip over to Philippians 2, verse 16. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So this day of Christ is when the Apostle Paul is going to see the fruits of his labor. On that day, he's going to sit back and say, hey, I didn't labor in vain. I didn't run in vain. He's going to see the fruits of his life of soul winning and ministry and winning people unto Jesus Christ and the evangelism that he had done. He's going to see that all come to fruition. And then, of course, we have the seventh mention, which is the one that we already looked at in 2 Thessalonians 2, where it says, don't let anybody tell you that it's at hand. So all this fits perfectly with the rapture, with Christ coming in the clouds and us being caught up together with him. Every mention fits perfectly with him.